Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
We should introduce ourselves for newbies. I'm Nathaniel, the film experience.
She's Katie from Cinema Blend.
He's a Nick from Nick's Flick Picks.
And I am Joe from a roaming series of
Joe without
internet
home.
outlets. Are you a
Seriously.
troubadour?
I kind of am now. Find me where you can because it's brilliant stuff wherever it is.
So we've all seen Pitch
All right, well,
Perfect.
nice talking to you
guys. We are here to talk about Pitch Perfect, right?
Oh, yes, top to bottom.
Yes. You guys, I laughed so hard, but then I didn't respect myself in the morning.
I think all of the it doesn't live up to Bring It On comments are dead on and correct. And I don't want to like Bring It On as like an impossible standard to reach because it's not, but it's like it's not as easy
What?
as
Wait.
it
I know,
seems.
Nick. Nick and I, Nick, you called it the Citizen Kane of teen movies, right?
It's the
Citizen Kane of a lot of things, but you just describe it as a not unmeetable bar.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is it doesn't feel like it should be an unreachable bar, but it's proven to be, like in practice, we haven't seen anything that's been going for that kind of a movie since 2000. So.
Well, would you count Mean Girls in that canon? Because I compare Pitch Perfect to Mean Girls because of the 30 Rock connection of the writer.
That's actually a really good point, and I would put Mean Girls up there with Bring It On, actually.
But I
So,
also don't think Pitch Perfect is as good as Mean Girls, so the comparison still stands.
no, I thought, I mean, for something, if you want to call it like empty calories or whatever, it was a lot of fun.
yeah, it
It
was.
was smarter with music than a lot of the sort of Glee and post-Glee kind of craze of reappropriating popular songs to whatever goose your teen movie. It was smarter with those than other things have been. The chemistry between Anna Kendrick and the lead boy I thought was really good and
He's
interesting and didn't
super
feel
cute.
forced at all.
I was very excited about him. And he was in Spring Awakening, right?
Right, yeah.
With Jonathan Groff, who I also like a lot.
I'm still ever so slightly unsold on the Rebel Wilson thing. I didn't like
Ooh.
her as much here as I
But the
did
movie
in
demands that you love her, Joe.
Yeah, it's very, very insistent. But I didn't not like her, but I feel like I wasn't kind of came away. All right, this is going to sound like very faint praise, but it's the most I've ever liked Brittany Snow in anything. Which isn't
That
saying much, but I thought she was really kind of delightful,
I
and I thought.
did, yeah, I would totally agree with
And
that.
I really
I
like
liked
Anna
her.
Camp and everything. So I thought the cast was very likable.
In the
I wanted
movie.
to smack Anna Kendrick the whole time. I
Oh.
couldn't even start to deal with her.
Oh,
Yeah,
no.
you're historically anti-Anna Kendrick, as I recall.
It never quite works out, and I always think that it will, but like I didn't understand why she was playing the character as like totally over everything. Like, which I feel like is a kind of Anna Kendrick typecasting, but the like rolling the eyes about the Miley Cyrus, even though I was like, no, it's just fun. And then it is about like it's fun, but there just had to be, and like all the like put downs of a cappella before you then do it, and the put downs of the guy before you wind up with him, and the put down. Like, I didn't get the writing of the character that way, but she seemed really intent on just being sarcastic and smug. I
Nick,
just don't
she's
like
from
her.
the city and she wants to be a
Yeah. You
DJ. I
know
don't
what
think you
it.
understand what city people are like.
Well, this is they were doing. They were doing this whole thing like the Bring It On template, only they forgot to have Kirsten Dunst and they just had Missy.
Yeah.
You know, like she was Eliza Dushku, but there wasn't really a Kirsten Dunst.
But she wasn't even Eliza Dushku.
No, right, but I'm saying it was the template. You know,
Yeah.
she's over it. She's like, I'm too cool for this, but okay, I'll do it anyway for no reason.
But I will say,
But
I have
I
known a
like her
college
voice.
student or two to be that kind of insufferable. So.
No, I spent a lot of time with them. But yeah, it didn't, you know, and maybe that whatever. I like be a fun movie and have fun in it and don't like sort of have to make fun of things before you have fun doing them, which could be a generational problem. I don't
Yeah, no, we definitely have to make fun of things now before we do them because that's how else would we retain our self-respect?
And if
That's
you've
true.
never heard of Don't You Forget About Me, I can't even talk to you anyway. So it really
Okay,
doesn't.
but okay, that was the one thing that I was like, okay, exactly. Because after spending a weekend with my 20-year-old sister, that's for real. Like, my 20-year-old yeah. sister, who I was like, name three Madonna songs, and she's like, I don't know. It's scary. It's scary to think that this is what the times have done to us, but
but it also doesn't make a lot of sense for someone. I mean, Anna Kendrick is supposed to be 18 in this movie. It doesn't make a lot of sense for her to even care about that stuff. Like, that's a lot of generations before.
Right.
I feel like you're calling me old.
Yeah.
Calling us all old.
The Breakfast Club thing made me feel old.
Yeah.
Well, Easy A did it like 2 years ago, so it's been, yeah. it's been on that direction.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, we're old.
I'm like, I was there first. Don't I get any credit?
You go home, Anna Kendrick.
I didn't have to be nostalgic about Breakfast Club. I was just totally into it at the time.
Yeah, in fact, I was like anticipatory of it.
I was like practically founder of the Molly Ringwald fan club.
I feel like our listeners learn things about us with every new podcast.
No, seriously, you guys, like my friends and I, when we went to Pretty in Pink, I'm so dating myself, but anyway, we went to Pretty in Pink and we we drew little signs and shoved them in the window, like Molly Ringwald fan club this way. Like, we were being so stupid. We were so
the insane. Window of the window of what
of the car? Of
oh, like you're on your way to a football game
of my parents' car. We were like shoving shoving Molly Ringwald like signs, like woohoo.
Tailgated at Pretty in Pink. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. That's I want what I already wanted tonight was to like fill Nathaniel with antifreeze and process him. And this is the kind of stuff we're gonna pull out.
Nice Oscar season transition right there.
Well, and then I want to hear about the time you single-handedly freed all the slaves as well as the hostages.
I'm trying to think of, like, is Pitch Perfect the one movie that all four of us have seen? That we're going to talk about? Because I feel like we're sort of fragmented on everything else that's of the moment right
We've
now.
All seen The Master, right?
I don't think so.
Wait, who has
The Master?
I invited you guys all and I said the topic is going to be, what did I write? Let me see this. Like, so I said The Master, The Paperboy, and The Lincoln Clothed in Immense Power. And then I just, like, I don't know if I want to talk about The Master. I feel like talking about Pitch Perfect and The Paperboy. And I want to hear all about Lincoln, of course, because I wasn't there. Although they did make me wait out in the cold because I was there to see Ginger and Rosa.
Nathaniel, I cannot believe that I did not see you after you texted that you were in the same row that I was in for Ginger and Rosa.
Yeah, that's so weird. Cause,
that's
you know,
insane.
Because I saw when my friend Rob was in the next row, and I totally saw him. So it's so weird that I didn't see you.
Yeah.
I, of course,
was not able to check my phone because I left my phone in my office because, God forbid, anybody bring a cell phone in the
But
Lincoln.
You still had to wait in the horrendous line, which I saw many of a Lincoln Center board member yell at security people and still have to wait in line with plebeians like me.
No, listen, they made me wait out in the cold, too, and I think... I'm sick again.
Oh no.
Oh God.
You should have told them you had a pre-existing condition.
I was like, I had pneumonia 2 weeks ago, bitches.
I am not doing this again.
Now, I have to say the New York Film Festival does not generate, it's the only festival I ever hear stories where I go, gosh, I wish I was there. Never happens. But I'm sure you're having a great time.
Well, it was one of those things where it was just like, even as I'm standing in line, I'm like, holy shit, like, 7 years ago, I would have died thinking I was going to be able to not only, like, live in a city where I could just, like, hop across the street from where I work and go to see, like, whatever movies at a film festival.
Right.
But, like, that I'm going to see the new Spielberg movie 2 months before it opens.
Yeah, and with Spielberg there to introduce it, and apparently doing a Q&A after that I didn't stick around for, which makes
no,
me
I didn't
feel...
Either.
Yeah. Well, I was like, I'm in very good position to get my cell phone back and get the hell out of here. So I'm going to do that because I was sitting in the balcony like Lincoln at Ford's Theater, which felt really ominous. And it was a terrible view. But, you know, again, don't complain too much about seeing something so early.
I was sitting right.
Inevitable audience member who asked, did Lincoln really free the slaves?
Oh, God. Seeing Amore, like I was just dreading the Q&A because like Michael Haneke, he don't explain his movies. Don't ask him.
Yeah, he's not going to put up with your shit.
And I knew people were going to ask him what this meant and what that meant. And I'm like, don't do it, don't do it. And then they do it.
You're asking for it. Well, Q&As are notoriously obnoxious for every little thing. And yet, the Q&A for Frances Ha, I was kind of waiting for somebody to just be like, hey, talk about why you filmed it in black and white. Just because I want, you know, I was curious. Mm-hmm. And nobody asked that. Everybody was all like, it's those kind of questions that aren't questions, but questions that are really mm-hmm. saying, like, look how much I know about what you've done with your career.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or, like, questions that isn't a question, but, like, let me tell you how much I love you. Or, like, questions, not questions, but, like, let me let you know how many years of film school I went to. Like, that. So nobody asked the black and white question, and Lord knows I wasn't going to. But I sat in front of Scott Rudin for Lincoln. I've been telling that to everybody just to see who gets impressed and who was like, who?
Did you pitch him?
I didn't, but I kept waiting for him to, like, yell at someone, like, during the thing. I was just sort of, like, waiting for that. But no, Whoopi Goldberg came over to say hello to him. That was about all we got.
When I had the most brush with that was in War Horse, actually, speaking of Spielberg, the War Horse screening last year, uh-huh. like the big premiere at the Lincoln Center. Uh-huh. I was in the same row as Tyler Perry.
Ooh.
And
ooh, he is a big deal.
Yeah, he was just like a few people away from me, and like everybody was stopping to talk to him.
I was going to say, speaking of people coming to kiss his ring, like,
yeah.
I have a screening invite to Alex Cross finally, so I'm in good with Thank Tyler God. Perry now. I know. To see what that's all about.
So you guys, like, sometimes I wish I didn't stay for the Q&As, though, because Ginger and Rosa, I was like, I liked the movie quite a lot, uh-huh. and I thought Elle Fanning was amazing.
I did, too.
And then she came on stage, and she just seemed like such, like, a silly little girl.
But would that, see, I didn't stick around for the Q&A, because I sort of hightailed it to find my phone again, because I had missed my phone. But do you think that, like, because she seems like such a girly girl, like, outside of the movie, is that more impressive, maybe, for you, that she was able to pull together such a performance? Or do you feel like the performance then is suspect?
Yeah, I was suddenly like, what did Sally Potter have to do to get that out of her?
Right.
'Cause, but maybe it's just because everybody was so much older than her, and they're, like, more, you know, brainy actors, like...
Right.
I mean, Alice Englert, who's the daughter of Jane Campion, was just so articulate and, you know.
Right.
So, I don't know. But she just seemed like kind of like she was like giggling through all her answers. And I was like, I was like, you're not 10. You're like 15 now, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. But she was really good in it.
Yeah, I thought she was definitely the clear highlight of it.
Are there any agnostics on Elle Fanning, or is everybody on board?
I'm definitely on board with Elle Fanning. Is that movie coming out this year? Or is it next year?
It's getting a qualifying release.
Okay.
You love those!
I know. I live for them.
I was just talking about the Alex Gibney documentary that's an HBO doc, the one about the Catholic Church that is getting a qualifying release. So I feel bad even talking about it because it's like, well, it's going to be in a theater at some point this year, and then it'll be on HBO next April. So you can all
What's
go to
the
hell.
Title?
Mea Maxima Culpa, Silence in the House of God. It's quite
wow.
a title.
I
liked it a lot, though.
Based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Why do documentaries always have the longest ass titles?
I don't know, because they have a lot of they have a lot to talk about.
They have a lot of feelings.
They have a lot of feelings.
So, have you not seen The Master then?
You've seen The Master, I think, right?
I've seen The Master.
I have.
I have not.
Oh!
Well, so what happened is, like, I wrote on the blog that I had seen it because I was going that day. This is, like, super embarrassing, so I'm just confessing.
Oh, sorry, I did it to you again.
Okay. Yeah, no, so I wrote on the blog that I had seen it because I was literally, like, leaving the apartment to go see it, and I got to the subway, and I had forgot my subway card, right? So, like, I had to walk all the way back home to grab my subway card. And then I get back to the subway, and there's delays. And they said the next train was, like, 20 minutes from then. And so I didn't make it to the movie.
Oh, man.
In time.
That's, I've been there.
That's bad.
And it hasn't played since then?
Well, you had your pneumonia to convince.
Yeah, I mean, plus that. Like, I saw so many things, like, when I was in the... Anyway, it's embarrassing.
There are a lot of things to see. I made a bet.
Nick's not invited next time.
I made a Master-related bet and an Oscar-related bet tonight that two parts, basically. A, that Daniel Day-Lewis would not win Best Actor, which Joe and I can talk about, and B, that The Master would not be nominated for Best Picture.
Ooh.
Even though it's a movie I like a lot. I feel the momentum on The Master fading, mostly because Nathaniel hasn't seen it.
If I'm not backing it, take exactly. note, Hollywood.
That's right.
It's dead.
Tastemaker.
So we can talk about Lincoln later, but I wonder if you guys who have seen The Master also kind of feel like it's kind of, I mean, it's not that it's a bad movie, but it's kind of faded in terms of Oscar stuff.
Well, I felt like the whole thing about the pre-release screenings and the whole gorilla, you know, popping up out of gopher holes thing was like great for the movie, but it also seemed like a movie that they really needed to capitalize on a lot of buzz before it actually opened to audiences. Because it's not a pleasing movie, really. And like, it was clear that like critics would go for it, especially a certain kind of like critical conversation would form around it. But it is hard to imagine like real consensus growing up around that thing. And like, definitely in the Academy, and I certainly sense like no interest coming from anybody that I know who's not like a blogger, right. Twitter, or movie person.
Right.
And anybody who does like, go see it is not gonna like it. Like,
yeah.
Well, and because the initial response was so much in the hands of like-minded critics and fans of Paul Thomas Anderson's, that reaction was so upfront that everything interesting to say about it since then has been dissent. So I think that has also contributed to, you know, whatever momentum you have being downward momentum.
But even if, like, I don't know, even in the rave reviews, I sense that it was a film that people respected more than they actually loved.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is always a big problem for awards.
Yeah, weirdly, yeah. I still think Joaquin Phoenix is as much of a front runner as ever. Even among people who may not have gotten much out of the movie, they're still the type of people who are going to look at that performance and be like, well, look at him. He's a pretzel of a person. So clearly, yeah. that equates, you know, skill.
I love the pictures of all the scenes and pictures of him that I've seen because it always reminds me of the editorial pose and modeling.
Oh, like, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because he's always, like, hunched over with his elbows jutting out.
Scoliosis
is so hot. Right. Then I'm going to come back in style any moment. Molly Ringwald and I, we're totally going to be back in style.
I can see all three actors being nominated and probably the director, but I could see the movie not happening, maybe.
Yeah. Well, every time I look at supporting actress and realize
I don't
how
think
little
Amy Adams is going to make it.
What is that category? I mean, every time I try to look at who the contenders are, it seems so thin.
Well, there's the very incredibly supporting cameo by Helen Hunt.
Well, you guys, I was talking
until people actually see Les Mis, I can't quite put Anne Hathaway in the driver's seat.
You know what? I've been thinking more and more. Les Mis could easily have two supporting actresses
with her and Samantha Barks.
And Samantha Barks, because Eponine is such a big part. And if she's
when they nominate her, they can't just call her On My Own, right? Like, nominees are Helen Hunt, Anne Hathaway, and On My Own, because that's sort of
and two other
by then they will have learned by then they will have learned her name,
perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely room for an ingenue in there.
Well, and Scarlett Johansson maybe.
Yeah.
Is there anyone in Anna Karenina that jumps out?
I saw Anna Karenina yesterday, and I'd kind of put my hopes out for
So jealous.
I loved it so much. I was so nuts about it. We'll have to talk about it once more people have seen it. But I don't really think there's much going on for the supporting actresses in there. I mean, I think Keira Knightley is incredible, and Jude Law is actually really interesting. And I mean, that supporting actor is really crowded this year.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested to know if he can get anywhere. But I don't think for supporting women, there's enough meat in there. I mean, even though Kelly MacDonald's in it, and she's always awesome.
I was going to say, it has so many women I like.
Yeah. I didn't even realize Olivia Williams was in it until I saw her, and I was like, yes, Olivia Williams.
She's in everything.
Yeah, she really is. But yeah, I don't know if there's enough meat in there. And weirdly, like, it's got low, the Rotten Tomato score is lower than I would expect, and that's not necessarily everything.
Well, I think it's going to be a little bit divisive, but which makes me more excited.
Yeah, exactly.
But you guys need to know that Monty, the reluctant Oscar pundit,
right?
He's as soon as Katie said Anna Karenina, and he started howling.
Ooh, is that good or bad?
Howling good or howling bad?
Like howling, like come play with me. I'm so fucking bored right now.
I have tried
harsh,
to get my cat to
harsh
to screener. My cat is not nearly as interested in Oscar punditry as yours is.
Oh, he's not interested. I have to force him.
If by interested you mean totally over it. I thought I'd heard that that Kitty and her man were kind of great.
They're both really great, I think, but they don't have, and maybe I'm being too harsh. I'm like, you have to have a scene to get that nomination. But I mean, they're both very good and I like them a lot, but I don't know if either of them has kind of the meat to jump through the crowd. But Domhnall Gleeson, I like him in everything.
Oh, I love him so much.
Yeah. And he's great as Levin.
Boy, Amy Adams better hope you don't need a scene to get nominated, because hers is not going to be able to be shown on.
You guys, you know why I don't think she's going to get nominated? I realize this is not a popular opinion at the moment, but because like when people talk about the movie, they talk about the two men.
Right.
Yeah.
All the time. And I also think you can only play that, oh, look at me, I can play against type card, like once.
And she already did that
with The Fighter.
I think she plays it very well. I don't think the movie gives her the kind of a showcase that Oscar voters tend to go for. I think it's one of those where the quality of the performance is going to outshine the Oscar prospects, which is not always the case with her.
But I feel like there's often that Kim Basinger nomination for, like, was there a woman in any of the movies I watched? Because I forgot to watch the movies about women. Her.
And if none of the women in Anna Karenina stand out, and if Hyde Park on Hudson is DOA like it seems like it is, supporting actress all of a sudden is a lot more wide open than we thought.
Yeah, I mean, I it's like Helen Hunt, Anne Hathaway, maybe Samantha Barks, and Amy Adams, and then like Maggie Grace, or not Maggie Smith, not Maggie Grace for Taken 2. Maggie Smith. Which, I mean, she does throw grenades in that movie. Maggie Smith and Bex Exotic Marigold Hotel is what I was trying to think of.
Maggie Smith throws grenades in that movie.
It does seem like a weirdly empty category, which makes me sad.
I don't know. Like, once you get Les Mis and Sally Field and Helen Hunt.
Oh, I forget Sally Field supporting.
I think it's going to be full.
About Sally Field.
Apparently we're in the minority, which I was really surprised to hear about after Lincoln, that some people really liked her.
She was really good in a couple of scenes, but she's really terrible in a couple of scenes.
Yeah.
It's very inconsistent. But I'm not ruling out a nomination. I'm just feeling like a lot of the people who are like, mark her down. Like, somebody was like, she should prepare her speech. I was like, for what? Like, for the Today Show on the morning of? Like, well, you know, there are a lot of talented people. And see that.
Yeah, I
the
can't
winning.
See her as a three-time Oscar winner.
Well,
yeah,
and I
really want to lose that I win every time I'm nominated record.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hold on to it.
I mean, I don't think Daniel Day-Lewis is going to be able to win his third on this. So if he can't,
I don't either.
Can't imagine.
She just seems really out of step with what's good about the movie. And like what everyone's coming out is talking about Tommy Lee Jones. And she and Tommy Lee Jones have the one scene together, which is weird.
It's a great scene, though. I love that scene.
Yeah.
It's a super crowd-pleasing scene.
Yeah. But she's not really in any of the best parts of the movie beyond that.
Mm. Well, right. And the good performance, it's a really tough movie because the tone is very elastic in the movie, and I think some of the strengths of the movie are that it allows for a bit of an elastic tone, and that's something I liked about it. But if you're looking for what Daniel Day-Lewis does well, that's very different than what Sally Field does well, and it's also very different than what Tommy Lee Jones is doing well.
Mm. But sometimes Nick, you pointed this out the year we were all talking about The Fighter. Sometimes that sort of clash of disparate acting styles really can be really exciting in a movie. Are you guys saying that that's not the case of Lincoln, that it's distracting?
Well, apparently for some people it really worked. Like we were saying that some people really like Sally Field, but I mean, I thought...
But everybody hated Joseph Gordon-Levitt, though. So
yeah. Well, because he's just kind of... He's not doing a whole lot. Like, he's got an accent that is kind of inconsistent.
But even beyond his performance, those scenes just all seem extraneous and not they're sort of a pain to sit through. Whereas like Tommy Lee Jones sometimes sticks out like a sore thumb, but or not like a whatever, a sore thumb sounds bad. It's every time he comes on, he's sort of like he wakes up the audience.
Oh
and
no,
sort of
that
like,
sounds so Renee Zellweger, Cold Mountain.
No, but he's doing Tommy Lee Jones. Like he's just kind of being himself.
Yeah, it's super, super welcome when he does it, at least I thought. And like he got an ovation in the middle of the movie. Like that was the point where I was just like, well, okay, obviously this is happening. Like,
well, isn't that what, you know, with Jennifer Lawrence and Silver Lining Playbook?
Yeah. Oh, did that happened with her too?
Yeah, she has a big scene where she kind of lays down the law.
The audience applauds. Like,
yeah.
The time I remember specifically seeing that in an Oscar movie was As Good as It Gets.
Oh, yeah. I still say that all the time. Goddamn motherfucking HMO bastard pieces of shit.
Oh, and that's what oh my God.
Yeah, and people.
That's when Helen Hunt won her Oscar.
Yeah, and people in the theater just went wild.
I realized this. I didn't realize you had seen Silver Linings. I know this is a jump. Do you think Jennifer Lawrence has it in the bag at this point?
Can I say something about that while you think about your answer?
Yeah.
Because the weirdest thing about Toronto was that the first 2 days that I was there, which was basically the beginning of the festival, all of the like big wig critics walking around were saying, don't even go see Silver Linings. Just skip the press screening. It's so bad.
Wow.
And so people I knew who had tickets elected not to go because they were all told David Russell just turns into this mainstream, awful, boring, right in front of your eyes.
That's,
and then like after 3 days of that, suddenly it was everybody's favorite thing and it won the People's Choice Award and now she's definitely going to win. So I just can't understand
how
that all happened.
See, this is what happens when I miss the beginning of a festival. I did not know that at all.
No,
just everybody was British. None of them liked it. British people ruined it.
No, actually, one of my friends in the industry actually wrote me an email right before Toronto saying how bad it's saying the same thing. It's
wow.
It's so like a sellout. It's, you know, it's too mainstream, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So that's weird.
Yeah.
Nick, did you see it?
No.
Okay.
But I wasn't seeing any of those.
has everybody seen The Sessions?
Yeah.
No.
I'm very, very sporadic on what I'm able to see before it opens. So unless it's
open, well, I am like, I don't know, this year is just like killing me. First I get pneumonia and then I love Helen Hunt in a movie. What is happening?
Well, clearly you haven't recovered fully yet. Then. You really need to check yourself.
I'll back you up on Helen Hunt in The Sessions. I think she's pretty great in it.
I'm so prepared to love her. I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
I'm really glad.
It's such a complicated part, and she just seems so smart in it.
Yeah.
It's like something about I thought she was – it's like the only time I've ever really loved her in something. And I did not think that John Hacks had much to do.
Interesting.
Like
you're like, he just laid there. I don't understand.
Yeah, what happened to acting with your whole body?
He sounds lazy.
Everybody just has to cater to him. No, that's in total bad taste. Sorry.
Terrible.
I really liked him in it. But I mean, he's not doing
He's funny in it, but there's just not, it's not like a big arc or anything. Like, I think her role is so much more fascinating.
That's true.
But we learn in Rain Man, they don't always want an arc when given two choices.
Yeah,
I would
that's
prefer
true.
The no arc. Thank you.
Yeah, I would prefer the no arc that has the easy hook. Of like, wow, acting.
Because
in real life, John Hawks can walk.
It's amazing, and he probably has had sex at some point in his life. It's incredible how he channels that.
I love that he probably.
I don't want to make assumptions about people. He's probably married. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I did like him in that though. I'm excited to see John Hawks be a Best Actor nominee. I feel like that's one for the good team.
Well, I have to say, like. So few people work their one nomination as well as he did. Like it seemed like it really like so many people just like disappear if they're supporting actor nominees. You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true. Sophie Acanito's doing really well. And Keisha Castle Hughes is rocking it. I think that's very ungenerous.
Back to supporting actress for 1 second, and I have not seen this movie, so I'm just throwing out the question. Does Nicole Kidman get one Best Supporting Actress nomination or three for The Paperboy?
I want to hear Nathaniel on this, because I have not... Have you written about The Paper Story Boy yet?
I have.
Okay, because yeah. I missed it, because I saw your tweets, and I was dying to see the full write-up, so I need to read it.
Well, and get this, the penultimate paragraph in my review was all about Nicole Kidman and how awesome she is.
Uh-huh.
And then the third comment was like, so what did you think of Nicole Kidman in the movie?
I saw that.
What?
Amazing.
People are terrible.
Short attention spans. At first, when I started to read that comment, I thought he was giving you shit. Like, so what did you think of Nicole Kidman, though? Like, but then I was just like, oh, no, you haven't read till the end of the thing. Okay, like, yeah. I get it.
I hoped he was maybe just, like, the way that if somebody told me about Tilda Swinton, I would listen, and then I would be like, tell me about Tilda Swinton.
Right. Yeah, we should be
there
more...
There can't be enough.
We should be more generous, yes. That's totally what it was. Because every review I've read of The Paperboy, I'm like, can you have 5 more paragraphs on how awesome Nicole Kidman is in?
But it's been getting pretty well savaged by everybody, yes?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. Like, I think people are being way too hard on it.
I'm right with you. It's so weird. And it's as weird as you've heard it is. Like, which usually doesn't happen. By the time you've heard how weird it is for 6 months, you're like, oh, well, I mean, whatever. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. Because nobody talks about John Cusack, because it's kind of hard to talk about how weird he is in it.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, you kind of don't even want to look at him.
Yeah. I don't really want to look at him.
I second that.
I'm done being generous.
Yeah.
But
like, is this the movie The Gift would have been if it was...
If it had more sexual hangups and one brilliant performance, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to lead the supporting actress campaign for Nicole Kidman, then?
I'm always leading those campaigns for her.
She's sort of, it's like her faster pussycat performance combined
wow.
with like, sort of like Nicole Kidman as rendered by Jay Davidson or something. Like, but it's totally... It's totally compelling, and like
Mark bought my ticket. You can stop now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked everybody in it. Pretty
Zac Efron,
pretty
really?
Sure.
I'm generally a supporter of Zac Efron. I was like really in favor of him as a movie star, and then this movie kind of. I just felt like he was like listening to whatever Lee Daniels told him to do and kind of got lost in whatever crazy shit that man was selling.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I guess I kind of
didn't like Matthew McConaughey in it.
I kind of don't remember him in it. Like, he's in it, and he has kind of one of the big scandalous revelations later on in the movie that doesn't register at all. It's just weird.
The thing about his performance, I'm like, I was trying to put my finger on why I didn't really respond to it, and I really think he wasn't interacting, like, he wasn't giving me what his relationship was with the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that movie, like, the thing I found most interesting about it is actually, like, how all the characters affected each other, and the different ways they were with different people in the scenes, and I felt like he was sort of removed the whole time. Anyway.
Well, he's with David Oyelowo, who's also kind of a cipher character who doesn't really become interesting until very late in the game. And then at that point, it's kind of like, all right, I don't know what that was about.
Yeah.
I liked Matthew McConaughey's first scene with Macy Gray in the kitchen, but it's the kind of scene that Zac Efron exclusively gets to have as the movie goes on with her.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did think for a movie that's so, like, bold-faced about almost everything, it's kind of weirdly bashful about the relationship between the brothers and the things that are kind of being implied to you about that relationship. Or possible about their fascination with each other. And it gets kind of hung up, kind of not able to really go there, I thought.
Especially when they're
Zac Efron and Zac Efron. Yeah.
Because they look exactly alike.
I like that we've spent a lot of time talking about movies that will absolutely not be nominated for Oscars.
Yo, wait! Pitch Perfect. Best director, for sure, right?
Oh, my God.
Lest we are accused of being one track, we're obviously not, because I haven't even ever heard of Argo.
Who is this Ben Affleck?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you guys should all see Argo. I liked it a lot.
I'll definitely see Argo.
It's got, like, every character. I mean, Lincoln actually has every character actor, but Argo has all the other character
actors.
All
the other ones, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's really kind of amazing.
Every that guy you've ever liked is in either Argo or Lincoln this fall. So what's not to like about that?
So Katie keeps sending off, like, psychic waves. during this podcast, because literally as soon as Katie said Argo, just like with Monty and Anna Karenina, my phone lit up a text from a friend. I'm not going to name the friend because maybe he doesn't want people to know this. Have you seen Argo yet? I hate how much I hated it.
Whoa. Ouch.
Wow. Yikes. That's the first negative reaction from the Lincoln I've heard people. About Argo.
Yeah.
I have heard nothing from Steven Spielberg? All praise.
It might be some Steven Spielberg.
Oh my God, this, you guys, this is so hilarious. And I didn't even see this earlier text from a different friend. Have you seen Argo? It's winning best pick. I guess there was a screening in New York tonight.
Yeah, it's screened tonight in New York.
Well, I'm not texting during this conversation.
I have mostly good things to say about Argo. But I mean, I guess I see how people could reject it. But it's like pure Hollywood, like thriller, well-made clockwork kind of thing. Like, it's like an Ocean's movie, but about spies instead. Like, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
Were people on target about the Alan Arkin thing? Because that was the...
Yeah, because it's a big movie, and there's a lot of moving pieces. Like, his part isn't as big as, say, Tommy Lee Jones's in Lincoln. Like, it's not as much of a every scene stops for him, but if there's going to be a nominee from that, it's going to be him.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a lot of people in that category. Although it would be weird for a movie as popular as I expect Argo to be to have no acting nominees. So right. Arkin does seem like the best shot.
Right, and Affleck's getting director.
Yeah, I mean he's fine. I
loved your article about that. Everybody reshows.
Oh, about how we have to get used to Affleck being an Oscar nominee.
And well, he's already an Oscar winner.
Just going to happen. Like it was sort of like I was being hyperbolic, but like. Not that much, because it's, like, it just is, like, it's happening.
Well, I've been saying that since, like, Gone Baby Gone. Like, if the other ones, if his other movies are respected, it's going to be, like, you know, 3 or 4 years. He'll be a nominee.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll
be the new Clint Eastwood director where everybody's just like, he's a master.
He'll be nominated opposite Michael Haneke, and we can all just deal with that when that happens.
I hope they seat Kevanjane Wallace next to Emmanuel Riva. I want to watch that all night.
I just want to see the Oscar luncheon photos and see them together.
Oh, God. You already got me excited for that point of the season, and it's so far from now.
Yeah, that's true.
Is anybody at all worried that Beasts of the Southern Wild has kind of,
I was just thinking that earlier today. I was like, what if it's one of these movies that it just doesn't happen at all?
And there's still plenty of time for a smart studio to bring it back and you know into the conversation. There's any number of ways to do
well,
it.
Well, do you put a lot of leverage in like people saying, well, the reason they moved Hitchcock to this season is because they were getting worried about Beasts?
Is that what they're saying?
I've read that from someone. I don't know.
I think Fox
read it somewhere.
I think Fox Searchlight is smart enough that they could handle two big contenders.
I do too.
So I don't think it's that.
But Hitchcock looks terrible, right?
It doesn't
That's my sense, that it just looks like a big old mess.
Oh my God, you guys, I spent my evening with Paul Rudd and Michael Shannon, and so I didn't see the Hitchcock trailer. And so I
wow,
keep...
that was some serious humble brag. I'm so sorry for you.
No, I was. They were on stage and I was in the audience, okay? But anyway.
Sure.
I'm sorry, you guys. The Gummers keep having me to dinner, and so I haven't seen anything.
Oh my God, you guys! The funniest thing. My friend was out. My friend was out with this friend of ours who teaches at the High School for the Performing Arts. So she knows, like, she's met like a million of the like famous parents or whatever. Uh-huh. And my friend could not, for some reason he blanked on the name Meryl Streep, and he was trying to say something about Meryl Streep, and he's like, you know, Mamie Gummer's mom.
And somewhere in Greenwich, Meryl Streep got a shiver down her spine. Oh my God. I said that was my one celebrity sighting at the Francis Ha screening that I went to, was I looked over and there's Don Gummer.
I cannot believe you recognized Don Gummer.
I mean, he was sitting next to Grace Gummer, but I like to think that I would have recognized him anyway, because I do love that man.
It's true.
Yes, one's eye does go to him. It does. At all those shows.
There was an empty chair next to his, and so I convinced myself that Meryl had ducked out just before the attention was directed towards.
Oh,
her.
To be a fly on the wall of the Gummer household and see what that dynamic really is like.
If anybody doesn't know who we're talking about, she's in Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate.
And she's Benjamin Walker's mother-in-law. There's another. Another
family,
clue.
The other Lincoln.
Yeah. And that's all for now. Part 2 is coming up very soon. Thanks for tuning in.